We read the Word of God tonight from Luke chapter 8. We'll consider verses 43 through 48 as the text tonight. So we consider the miracle of Jesus healing the woman with the blood issue who touched him. We consider a miracle of Jesus Christ tonight, remembering that this miracle occurred during his earthly ministry, that is, when he was in the state of humiliation. And I thought it would be good to consider a miracle of Jesus tonight because that's a reminder to us that the Bible does not speak to us of Jesus suffering, his passion, in order to portray Jesus as weak or pathetic or as worthy of our sympathy, but rather the Bible teaches us of Jesus' humiliation to show us the power, really, of Jesus' suffering. It's in the way of humiliation that Jesus Christ powerfully, victoriously, successfully saves sinners. So there is humiliation, but also power. We begin our reading at verse 40, Luke chapter 8, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when she came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Thus far we read the Word of God. May God bless the reading of His Word. We consider verses 43 through 48 here in Luke 8 as the text. I won't reread that. Jesus' healing of the woman with the blood issue who touched him. As we consider the miracle of Jesus Christ tonight, we do see, as I said a moment ago, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did for this woman what she could not do for herself, and what no doctor and what no one else could do for her. He healed her of her illness. But at the same time, we see the lowliness of our Savior. Not only does he work to save a man with a name like Jairus and with an important position as the ruler of the synagogue, Jesus will help him and raise his daughter from death to life. But Jesus condescends to heal and to help this nameless, poor, miserable woman. Jesus heals the woman who touched him. Let's consider that tonight. Jesus healing of the woman who touched him. First of all, we consider the woman's horrible illness. Secondly, we consider Jesus' great power. And then thirdly, the blessed results. The woman who worked her way through the crowd to be able to touch just the edge of Jesus' garment with just the tip of her finger was a very miserable and wretched woman. Her physical condition was horrible. She suffers from bleeding. She suffers from bleeding that has greatly affected her life. This is a lifestyle-altering condition. You may have had, or you may know others who have or have had little nicks, bruises, cuts that really don't affect their quality of life. There isn't anything that you or they normally do that you think that you better not do because of your little wound or bruise. You go about your normal activities as if nothing has changed. That was not the case for this woman. This loss of blood makes her weak every day. This loss of blood makes her tired and weary. This constant loss of blood means that there are some things that she used to do that she probably doesn't do anymore. And there are other things that she continues to do, but if you could talk to her at the time she was suffering this ailment, she would say, "The energy just isn't there. I can't do things the way that I normally do. Things take so much longer. I'm weak. I'm anemic because I'm losing so much blood." And there may be things that others ask her to do with them, or things that she wants to do that she says, "No, in my condition, I cannot do those things." So we must not minimize the illness of this woman. It is a very serious illness that causes her great grief. And it is a chronic illness. She has been suffering this for 12 years. And not once a month for 12 years. But every day of every month, some 4,380 days in a row. The bleeding does not come and go. It just keeps going and going. And this life-altering chronic illness, from an earthly point of view, is incurable. There are some people who suffer physical difficulties because they refuse to see a doctor when they ought to see a doctor. This text is in no way saying to us as Christians we may never see a doctor. But this woman is not one of those people who, when she shows up at the doctor, is told by the doctor, yes, I can help you, but I could have helped you more if you would have come sooner. Now your condition is so bad, I can't help you anymore. No, the passage paints a picture of this woman as someone who said right away, there's a problem, and I'm going to go to not just a doctor, but many doctors to see if I can find a cure. And so she likely kept her ear open. She had gone to one doctor and he wasn't able to help her, but she probably kept her ear open. Is there anyone else who might be an expert in this area? Is there anyone else who might have some new knowledge or some new treatment? And the woman would go to that doctor and she would pay great sums of money to receive the advice of that doctor. But none of them could cure her of her affliction. Her life is not any better, but worse off after seeing the doctors. Maybe, from a physical point of view, her condition, after going through the various treatments of the doctors, is worse than it was without treatment, but certainly from a financial point of view, she is worse off after seeing the doctors. They were content to take her money, all of her money, according to Luke chapter 8, even though they didn't help her at all without giving any of it back to her. So her life has been ruined by her condition. Her present condition is miserable. Her prospects for the future is also tomorrow, and the next day is going to be miserable. I'm going to be living with this condition. And from an earthly point of view, she's doomed to die without any cure. Physically, the woman's condition is horrible. But we have to ask, what is the spiritual meaning? Or when we look at this physical condition of this woman, what is that portraying for us from a spiritual point of view? We ask that question for two reasons. First of all, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who healed this woman, is the great physician. But as the great physician, Jesus Christ is not the great physician who heals physical diseases. He makes it plain that he is the one who's come as the great physician to deal with the spiritual diseases of man, to bring spiritual healing. So somehow this miracle too, as with all of the other miracles of Jesus, must have some spiritual meaning and significance. And that there is a spiritual significance to this woman's illness is confirmed by the fact that this happens in the Old Testament yet. And when we turn to the book of Leviticus, we find out that a woman who has an issue of blood is ceremonially unclean. That comes out in Leviticus 15, verse 19, where the women who regularly, on a monthly basis, have an issue of blood are declared to be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. 7 days they were not allowed to be at the tabernacle. 7 days they were commanded by God to separate themselves from the rest of the people of God, lest they would make them unclean as well. But Leviticus 15, verse 25, speaks not of a woman who has that regular monthly cycle of an issue of blood, but of a woman whose issue of blood lasts longer than that. Verse 25 speaks of a woman who has an issue of blood many days out of time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. This woman, being an Old Testament Israelite, understood that there was a spiritual significance to her issue of blood. I am spiritually unclean. The spiritual uncleanness that defiles me, that keeps me away from the tabernacle or the temple of God, that interrupts my fellowship with God and the people of God is spiritual. It's sin. This woman is conscious of her spiritual need for healing from sin. Sin is the horrible spiritual disease that causes suffering for this woman and for all human beings by nature. And it's not a little nick or a bruise that hardly affects the life of man, but sin is a life-altering, life-destroying even affliction. Sin's guilt separates us from God. This woman is conscious of that. Are you conscious of that? Sin is depravity. Sin is spiritual defilement. Sin rules, dominates over those who are dead in sin so that their lives are destroyed by sin. You and I, by nature, are not only, because of sin, not allowed to have fellowship and friendship with God, but sin dominates us by nature so that sin controls our lives, leads us in the way of sin and rebellion against God, and it even destroys all of our other relationships. Why is there a lack of love in the world? Why is there so much anger and hatred in the world? What is really wrong with the world? That's all made very clear in the physical ailment of this woman. She is not only physically miserable because of her issue of blood, but spiritually miserable because of sin. And that's the great problem with mankind. The great affliction of man is sin. And there's no cure in this world for our sin. There's no doctor, there's no expert, there is no one in the world who can take away our guilt. No one in the world who can give unto us the hope that they can take away our depravity, the defilement of our sin. No one can say to us, I have the cure. I can deliver you so that sin won't dominate or destroy your life anymore. There's no one who can save but Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, we would be left to die in our sins. Beloved, you see, what afflicts man is not poverty, lack of money. What afflicts man most seriously is not crime or sickness, or even when you look at addictions and you see men who are in slavery to alcohol and to drugs. The fact is that you can find a man or a woman in this world who can live a life in which they seem to have escaped all of those earthly afflictions. You can find a man who lives in wealth. He seems to have escaped the misery of poverty. You can find a man or a woman who seems to live in great health. They seem to have escaped the affliction of sickness. You can find a person who, from an earthly point of view, isn't addicted to any of the vices of this world and seems to live a clean earthly life. And yet, if you look closely, there's two things to keep in mind. One is, living in sin, even if things look good on the outside, that person has a miserable life. Sin destroys. And two is, if that man or that woman dies without deliverance from that sin, they will endure the misery of eternal death in hell. The woman knew her sin. Jesus says in the text that she had faith. She had faith in which she knew that her misery day by day was due not only to that physical condition of the issue of blood. She had faith in which she knew her sin and knew the power of sin's guilt and the power of sin to destroy her life. She looked at her condition and said, what makes me weak, what makes me miserable is not merely that I have a physically difficult life. What makes me weak and miserable is that before the law of God, I'm ceremonially unclean and I'm separated because of sin from God and His people. Is that how you know your sin? Do you see this woman now, not physically maybe as a picture of you, but spiritually? It's this knowledge of her sin that made this woman determine to work her way through the crowd, to touch, if not Jesus Christ himself, but just the edge of his garment with the tip of her finger. Do you see your need that way? So that you know that there's one place you need to go for your real serious disease of sin. And that's to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is a powerful savior of sinners by healing this woman immediately. It almost goes unnoticed. This is not one of those outstanding miracles where the crowds saw something that amazed them. That's why most of the people were there, you know. The crowds were pressing upon Jesus because they wanted to see some great miracle that would impress them. This one went hardly noticed, and yet it was amazing. Think about the moment for that woman. 12 years she had been suffering this affliction. For 12 years she had been seeking a cure. And the best and the brightest of all of the doctors in all of Israel could do nothing for her. She spent all of her money. And she decides that she is going to pursue Jesus Christ. She's going to wade her way through this thick crowd. And she's only going to touch the hem of his garment because she's not worthy to do any more than that. And immediately the blood stops flowing. To understand how this woman is healed, we need to start with verse 46, where Jesus Christ himself explains the healing of the woman. Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue, power, is gone out of me." The power of Jesus Christ is the power by which this woman was healed and is the power by which every sinner is healed. We have to say something about this woman's activity. We have to say something about the faith that Jesus identifies that he sees in her. We have to say something about her action of reaching out her finger to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. We have to explain the significance of what she did here in the passage, but however we explain what this woman did, it may not take away from this. The one who healed her, and because that healing is a sign of salvation, the one who saved her is Jesus Christ by his power alone. That ought to be evident from the text, but it is worth emphasizing because as soon as the text speaks of this activity of the woman, there are those who want to say that somehow she contributed to her salvation. Somehow she perhaps fulfilled the condition by seeking out Jesus Christ, reaching out to him, believing in him, so that maybe she didn't save herself, but her salvation is by Jesus' power and her power added to Jesus' power. No, the whole point of the text is no one had the power to heal her or save her besides Jesus Christ. That's obvious, isn't it? There wasn't a single doctor who could stop her bleeding. There wasn't a single doctor who could help her with her physical need. And we all understand, don't we, that that's the lesser thing that this woman needs. If they couldn't help her with the healing of her body, there's no way that they could help her with her greater need, her healing from the disease and the death of sin. Why did that woman go to the doctors in the first place? Because she had despaired of doing anything herself. She couldn't heal herself. She couldn't save herself. And that's the same reason why the woman pursued Jesus Christ. By that act of pursuing Jesus Christ, by reaching out to touch Jesus Christ, the woman was saying, I despair of myself or of anyone else. No one can help me but this one, Jesus Christ. Saving power, that's the testimony of the text, is found in Jesus Christ alone. That's the significance of the woman touching the hem of Jesus Christ. The significance is not there that there's any power, of course, in the clothing that Jesus Christ was wearing. The significance is that the power of salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Why is there power in Jesus Christ? Because of who He is. He is God's Son. Why is there the power to heal not only physically, but ultimately spiritually, to heal sinners? It's because of what Jesus has done, what we considered this morning. He is the one who died to pay for our sins. He is the one who has the power, the ability, and the right to take away our sins because of what He has done. He is also the Lord Jesus Christ who has the Holy Spirit that He's able to send into our hearts to dwell in us, to apply to us salvation from sin's guilt, but also to apply to us salvation from the power of sin. That sin that dwells in us, Jesus has the power to dethrone that sin so that the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, Jesus Christ rules over us. So that our lives are no longer ruled and destroyed by sin, but ruled and blessed by Jesus Christ. There's no saving power in the sinner. The sinner does not contribute to the saving power of Jesus Christ, but through contact with Him, through touching Him, and through Jesus Christ touching her or touching him, the sinner, there is the power of Jesus Christ given to that sinner to heal. And here's where faith comes in. How do you and I touch Jesus Christ? That's the question for us tonight. And what we have to recognize is that the woman really touched Jesus Christ in two ways. Yes, physically, with her finger, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That's a way that you and I cannot touch Jesus Christ. But don't despair because of that. Don't be discouraged because of that. Because the second way and the more important way that she touched him was with her heart of faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. That's how you have to understand Jesus' question in verse 45. When he said, who touched me? Peter, in his response to Jesus Christ and the rest of the people, thought that Jesus was talking about the woman touching Jesus physically. That's why all the people said, how can you ask? All these people around you, they're bumping into you, they're hitting you with their elbows and with their shoulders. How can you ask? Who touched you? Many people have touched you. Jesus, in his response, indicates that they were mistaken in thinking that he was thinking or talking about a physical touch. Jesus, in his response, is saying, that may be that many people touched me physically, but I'm talking about somebody, one person in particular who touched me in a different way. I'm talking about somebody who touched me in a way that it drew my power out of me and into them. And the kind of touch that draws the power out of Jesus Christ is not a physical touch. And that's why you and I need not despair that we can't touch him physically. That wouldn't do us any good anyway. There are many people there who touch Jesus physically, who are around him physically. That didn't do them any good because they didn't believe in him. And Jesus knew that, and he endured that as part of his suffering during his earthly ministry. Jesus experienced the rejection, the unbelief of sinners, not only when they displayed that unbelief very clearly as they did in Nazareth, remember his hometown? When the people of Nazareth said, "Who is he? He's Joseph's son, he's Mary's son, he's a carpenter's son." And they rejected Jesus Christ. Later on, too, during his trial, when the multitudes would reject him openly, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," Jesus would suffer the rejection of men. But here in the text, too, even when he's popular with men, these crowds want to be around Jesus. These crowds are enthusiastic about being around Jesus, not because they believe in him, but because they want to see some exciting miracle. And Jesus knows that. He's giving a testimony to that here. "I know the hearts of all these people who are around me physically and touching me with their shoulders and elbows. They don't know themselves as sinners, and therefore they don't think they need me, the great healer of sinners." But there is one, Jesus says, who's touched me spiritually. There's one who touched me in faith. That was the woman's touch of Jesus Christ. You and I, beloved, may take comfort in knowing that even though we cannot touch Jesus physically, the text is telling us this is the way for you to come in contact with Jesus Christ. This is the way for you to come into contact with him in a way that his power will flow to you to heal you of the disease of your sin. Now, this woman touching Jesus by faith enjoyed Jesus' power and his grace for her salvation. If anyone says, "But this woman put her faith in Jesus Christ," the answer is yes, she did. She did actively put her faith in him and trust in him. But it has to be remembered that this faith that she put in Jesus Christ was Christ's gift to her. She received this faith because she was one of God's chosen daughters. That's how Jesus refers to her. She is the daughter of God, chosen unto salvation. Jesus has given unto her faith. But then we can say, yes, that faith was active. The faith that Jesus Christ gives is always an active faith. And that's what we see in this woman, an amazing faith in which she put her trust in Jesus Christ. A faith in which she said, "I believe that he has the power to save me. He has the power to heal me, yes, but he has the power to save me from my sin." A faith in which she also trusted in the willingness of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing, too. Faith is confidence in the love of Jesus Christ. Not only does he have the power to save me, but if I merely touch the hem of his garment, Jesus Christ will be willing to give me the power to save me from my sin. Not just Jairus, an important man and ruler of the synagogue, but a woman who has no name in Scripture, a woman who has no money, a woman who is weak, pathetic. She trusted Jesus would heal even her. And that's what she found by faith in Jesus Christ. He is the great physician and healer of sinners. That's the way God works today, too. He gives to his people the gift of faith to connect us to Jesus Christ so that we are in him. He gives to us faith so that we actively may put our trust in him. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, though he is in heaven and we are here on this earth, virtue, power goes out of Jesus to heal us. Do you know your sin and your guilt? Does the shame of your sin burden you? Sometimes it burdens some more than others. Do you struggle with the power of sin, indwelling sin in your heart? Do you struggle with powerful lusts? Do you feel that sin rules over you and is destructive in your life and in all your relationships with God and with others? Here's Jesus' instruction here through this text. Touch me. Put your faith in me. I am the one who has the power to heal sinners. And as I said this morning, beloved, this is not a mystical thing. Jesus heals his people through ordinary faith. As we hear the preaching of the word, as we pay heed to the reading of scriptures, Jesus Christ gives us healing power. Immediately, freely. You don't have to pay all your money. Give him all your substance. And you don't have to wait 12 years. But as you hear Jesus Christ and you receive his word applied to your heart by his Spirit, immediately you receive the healing power of Jesus Christ. And because the greatness of that healing power is due to Jesus Christ, you need not be concerned about the weakness of your faith or your unworthiness. The woman, when you look at her and you say, why? Why did she approach Jesus from behind? Why did she reach out only for the very edge of his garment? And why didn't she go and hug him, but only want to touch him with the very tip of her finger? It's because while she had faith, it was a very weak faith. And yet, through that faith, she received the great healing power of Jesus Christ, because, as I said, the power that heals is not in our faith or in us in any way, but in the greatness of Jesus Christ, who is our great Savior and physician. The results, beloved, of our putting our faith in Jesus Christ and receiving power and grace from him are beautiful. First of all, the woman is healed. She is made whole, not only physically, but also spiritually. That's why it's important to recognize that Jesus didn't simply say to her, thy faith hath made thee whole, but he says to her, go in peace. Go in peace. You have been reconciled to God. You're not ceremonially unclean. You're not spiritually unclean. God has delivered you from sin. God has removed any barrier between you and himself. Go in peace and go with the grace of God, knowing his love and friendship, and that he will be with you all the days of your life. Also, the result is that Jesus Christ is magnified, not only by the miracle, but by the confession of the woman too. That's why Jesus stops her. He's on his way to the house of Jairus, and it's urgent. The daughter of Jairus is sick and dying, and ultimately will be dead before Jesus arrives at the house. The woman has touched him. The woman has been healed. Why doesn't Jesus just keep going on his way to do his important work of healing the daughter of Jairus? Why does Jesus stop and ask the question, "Who touched me?" Not because Jesus doesn't know, but because Jesus wants this confession to be made before all who are around him. He wants all to know that he is the great physician, that power not only to heal, but power as the Son of God to save sinners is found in him. And it won't do to think to yourself tonight, well, of course, this woman would be enthusiastic about telling other people about what Jesus Christ had done for her. She had this ailment for 12 years. She experienced the immediate healing from that ailment through the power of Jesus Christ. Of course she's going to want to go tell everyone about what a great Savior and healer Jesus Christ is. But that's nothing like that's ever happened to me. Do you believe? Have you experienced by faith through the preaching of the word, through the Holy Spirit working in answer to prayer and any other way in your life? Have you experienced that you not only have touched Jesus Christ, but that virtue has gone out of Jesus Christ? Power has been communicated to you. Let me ask you this morning, did you go home knowing the forgiveness of your sins, having heard that declared by God through the preaching of his word? Tonight, will you go home knowing that though your sins are great, that they are all taken care of through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ? And when you live your Christian life, what's your testimony? That Jesus hasn't touched your life? That you're dead in sin and you continue in sin? Or can you say, no, Jesus Christ has touched me in my marriage and I have a Christian marriage. Jesus has touched me in my home and I have a Christian home. Jesus has touched me in my life and I experience the power of the Holy Spirit to fight against and to overcome soul-destroying and life-destroying sin. I experience the freedom and the joy of serving God in the way of sanctification. Then what you have experienced by the power of Jesus' grace communicated to you is far greater than the physical healing this woman experienced, and is far more worthy of you confessing and telling others about. I need to tell you. That will be your attitude about the power that I have received from my Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of his name. Finally, beloved, the result of this is a call for you and me to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that this is who Jesus is, that he is the great physician who freely heals from sin. And you know you don't need to bring him any money. You don't need to do anything to make yourself worthy of his power and salvation. And you don't have any reason to worry that he doesn't have time for you. When you read about Jesus' healing of this woman with the issue of blood, in the context, it's striking that this is almost like a side story, isn't it? Jesus is busy. He's involved in other matters. But here's this little parenthesis where this poor, nameless, seemingly unimportant woman interrupts Jesus. And no, he's not too busy for her. And no, she's not too lowly for him. He heals her. So you and I have no reason to think that we are too lowly, that Jesus is too busy. And then to remember, he's the only one who can heal you. Maybe you're already poor, but it doesn't matter. Even if you had all the money in the world and can pursue all the doctors and all the experts in the world, none of them have the power to help you with sin. And so we're left with this calling. Go to Jesus. Put your faith in him. Touch him. And immediately experience his saving power. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee that in this time of the year we may meditate upon the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly he was the man of sorrows, rejected of men. Truly he is the one who laid his life down at the cross and suffered the agonies of thy wrath and hell for our sins. And truly we see the power of our salvation through the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the midst of the busyness of our lives, especially when things begin to feel hopeless and we feel helpless, continue to direct our faith to him and grant that by faith we may experience the power of his grace and salvation and experience healing and hope and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.